Erica Miller with Apple Lane Animal Hospital is with us. Dr. Miller, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we talked a little bit about this with Dr. Austin last month, but it just continues to warm up, which means fleas and ticks, and particularly ticks, are they're out, and you gotta be working to get them mitigated, so to speak.
Yes. So, you know, I've been telling a lot of clients these last couple of weeks. They come in and they're like, oh, you know, it's still too cold out to start preventatives, which everyone knows my soapbox that, you know, Kansas year-round preventatives we recommend because it's never too cold, I feel like, lately. But the last few weeks, my kids and I have been getting our garden ready for this summer, and the ticks are out. We have had them crawling on us and having to do tick checks. And so if they're out on us, they're definitely out on your pets. And truly, ticks, anything above 35 degrees, they're out and questing and looking for a meal. So, you know, most mornings here recently, you know, we're getting above 35 degrees, and that's, you know, prime time for people that are out walking their pets before work, you know, out letting them run, out to go potty first thing in the morning. So, anything above 35, those ticks are out. And then if it gets a little cooler, you know, they kind of just little dormant until the next morning. So they're out in full force.
Well, and again, this is something where, yeah, you said, I'm trying to remember, this is one of the first times that we talked. You said, okay, so when's winter?
Yeah, when is winter? That's the question I always ask, because, you know, and just like last year, we didn't get that really, really cold and big snows until later in December, I feel like. So we were still getting days that were above 35 degrees all the way into October, November last year.
Well, and this is going to sound funny because you wouldn't think of the two coming together, but in order for paving to work and paint on roads, it has to be above 50. So if the construction folks are working, it's warm enough for fleas
yes.
and ticks. That sounds
yeah.
funny, but...
Yes, yep. Yeah, so, I mean, they're out there. The other thing is, last weekend, I mean, and I think Heartworm Awareness Month is April. The mosquitoes are out too. I literally, last weekend, there was a mosquito buzzing around in my bathroom. And I was like, they are out. So I've had some clients come in and say, oh, you know, it's not quite warm enough yet for me to start heartworm medicine yet. And I'm like, the mosquitoes, they're out there. Anything above 60, mosquitoes like, and we've been getting days above 60. So.
Right, and it's going to get even warmer this weekend.
Yes.
I feel like I'm jinxing it to even mention it. We're supposed to have a chance of rain then next Monday, and so anytime that you can get that yep. That water can actually get on the ground and stand for a while,
yes.
you've got mosquitoes too.
Yep, warm, moist, humid, you know, perfect storm for all the bugs, and so, you know, can't stress it enough. Heartworm preventative, flea and tick preventative, talk with your veterinarian. You know, there's stuff out there for every pet. Just talk with your veterinarian about what they recommend. Get them on something now.
And I guess maybe this is another, we've done this before, but I want to go back over it again. What happens if that happens? In other words, what consequences are you trying to avoid?
Sure. So flea and tick. So one, nobody wants to deal with a flea infestation. So that's what preventatives are for, right? Because people are like, oh, fleas aren't out yet. And I'm like, yeah, but start it now, because you don't want to all of a sudden be having a ton of fleas and being playing catch up. Might as well start it now so that you don't have to do that. So you don't want a flea infestation. Fleas for cats can carry diseases that they can get, that it can affect the red blood cells, make them anemic. I mean, that's what most of, you know, fleas and ticks, what are they doing? They're sucking blood, transmitting diseases. So we've got that with fleas, trying to prevent ticks. Our pets can get the same tick-borne diseases that we can, and more more commonly a couple other ones that they'll get. So we're trying to prevent them from getting tick-borne diseases, heartworm, you know, I know we've talked about, but once they get heartworms from mosquitoes, the damage that heartworms cause, it's there. It's permanent. There's no fixing that. Can we do a treatment to get rid of those worms that are in the heart? Sure. But the damage that they've caused is already there. You know, prime example, I've had a pet that we treated for heartworm disease, which then we ended up with congestive heart failure later on because of the damage that we saw from the heartworms that were there. So all of those things can be prevented. And I think, too, the thing that we kind of forget about as well, especially with heartworm medicine, is most of those also do monthly deworming for internal parasites. So your whipworms, your hookworms, your roundworms. So doesn't just do heartworms, but it also prevents those worms and intestinal parasites that our pets can get as well.
Erica, I don't think I've ever asked you this. We talk all the time about, you know, different animals getting diseases. You hear about the birds with bird flu, and there was even some cattle that got some influenza and all of that kind of thing. What do you guys, as veterinarians, have to say? I have to watch the animals that I'm treating because there's a chance of things coming across from animal to human. What do you have to pay attention to?
Yeah, and so it really depends kind of what you're looking for. So, you know, when we're talking about, you brought up the bird flu, there were some cases that we were seeing in some dairy cattle. And, you know, it's really nice because as veterinarians, we do, you know, the state board, they're definitely staying in contact with us. So we're getting emails saying, hey, this is what we're seeing. This is the symptoms that we're seeing with these cases. This is what we want you to do if you're seeing these things. And so that's pretty nice. It really depends on the disease you might see, but we kind of get a little heads up, especially if there's, you know, lack of a better word, if you've got kind of an outbreak or some new cases. They tend to kind of let us know what to be looking for. And it can be hard because species are different, right? So, you know, I think in the cattle side of thing, they were seeing some diarrhea, loose stools, some weight loss, decreased milk production, you know, which is unusual in a dairy facility where that's the big thing, right? Milk production. So they monitor that pretty close. And when it goes down, they're like, what's going on here? And I do know I had heard of a couple cases, then two of some cats. So you always think about farms. There's always farm cats, right? So same with dairies.
Well, and that's kind of where I was going with this, is that you're not seeing cows every day.
No.
But
yeah. So.
But it's this species to species transmission stuff. That how do you know what's going to go from one to the other?
And you know, I think. I do not know what's going to go from one species to another. And luckily, we tend to find that out from higher ups. But, you know, I did have a colleague that said, you know, there were some cats on one of the farms that had become neurologic, and all of them that were brought into her started to die. Like, they couldn't treat them. And, you know, with those, you think about neurologic things, and there's always differentials. We think about, okay, could it be rabies? Could it be, you know, this? Could it be that? And so, you know, she was like, hey, keep this on your list of this could be a possibility with a neurologic cat. So, you know, a lot of it is kind of just word of mouth from other colleagues, what they're seeing. You know, luckily we haven't had anything around here, not a lot of dairies around here, but that doesn't mean it might not spread. Hopefully not.
Right. And I guess that's what I'm saying is also the other thing, and this gets back to a theme that if I say it, 1 month, I say it every month, have a relationship with your veterinarian so that when your animal, regardless of dog, cat, guinea pig, whatever, mm-hmm. is doesn't feel well, you can go, hey, this is different than it was before. And your vet, because they've mm-hmm. seen the pet before, can say, hey, yeah, this is also different too.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. You know, earlier this week, prime example, you know, I had a couple non-clients walk in and it was chaos. It was eclipse day. So it was extra chaotic at work, I feel like, that day. And I was by myself, but we had a couple non-clients walk in with their pets having issues and, you know, never seen them before, never seen their pet, wanting to get seen. And my staff says, hey, you know, like, I was booked. I had emergency surgeries. I was already working through the lunch hour that day based on my schedule. And they said, you know, well, where do you normally go? Who's your normal veterinarian? And the answer was, I don't have one. And, you know, that's a problem, especially if you have a pet that's 5-6 years old. So establish with a veterinarian so that when you have a problem, you can get in.
I know, Erica, that the relationship between a pet and their owner is as unique as the ones we each have in our families. But when a pet owner loses a pet, how do you decide as a vet whether to say to them, you know what, I know you, your family's going to want to have another pet around, or do you, or how do you, or maybe there's a, maybe they're, maybe you just wait on them. But what happens when that happens?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny sometimes. So we'll be, you know, doing a euthanasia and, you know, before the clients will walk out, they'll say, we're not doing this again. Like we can't go through this again. We're not getting another pet ever. Right. And that may be true for some, but, it's funny, sometimes we'll end up, that client will be back in a month or two and they've got a brand new puppy or kitten. And that's so fun. And, you know, it's hard. Losing a pet is so hard, especially when you've had them for a long time. Like I had a 16-year-old dog that I lost last year. So, you know, my whole life, college, vet school, getting married, two kids, it's really hard. And definitely there's a void there. And, you know, when clients say, oh, it's just so hard when we lose them. But, you know, I try to remind them, but all those years you had before that point were so good. You know, so many good memories. And so the majority of clients will end up getting, you know, a new pet, which is great because, you know, they're like, well, I just, you know, I didn't realize how quiet the house was or how much I missed that companionship that we get. And, you know, as soon as they get a new one, you know, that fills all those voids again. But the funny part is, you know, then it's like, oh, man, I haven't had a puppy or kitten in forever. And so, you know, it's like having a newborn. Rob and I were just talking because we both got new puppies over the course of the last year, and you forget what it's like to get a new puppy or kitten and the training that it takes and some of those sleepless nights in the very beginning.
All right. And that's something that you want to make sure that pet owners also know about is if they're making a change in their life, you want them to think about how that's going to affect the pet. And I don't believe that this, well, no, they do have pets. They have dogs. I just am not sure what they're going to do with those. But there's friends of ours that have a bunch of ground that's outside of town, and they're going to move into town into one of their rentals, at least temporarily, and sell the land that they own. Well, when you have pets, that's a big lifestyle change for them.
Yep. We definitely see lifestyle changes like that. And a lot of it is, you know, knowing your pets. And so some of the things we might say is, hey, you went from your pets being able to run around and have all this land and kind of free roam, and now you're in an apartment. So it's, you know, your lifestyle change. So are you getting up early and going on walks to release some of that energy for your pet? Are you doing walks after work? You know, can you go home at lunch and do a quick walk, which, you know, I'm like, walks are good for us too. And so just remembering that when you do have those changes, what are you going to do to kind of compensate or change those so your pet's not just like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, this is just crazy going from having all this activity and all this area to now I'm cooped up in a little apartment.
Well, and especially for those more active breeds that you mm-hmm. may have gotten when they were young puppies and you had the land for, let's call it 5, 6, 7 years, and they're in the prime of life still.
Sure.
And then now you're making that lifestyle yeah. change, that kind of a
yeah.
thing.
And, you know, we have some clients that, and they say, and especially like if we'll have elderly clients that are like, hey, we've got to move. We can't take our pets with us. And, you know, rehoming is always an option. And I know, you know, sometimes that can be hard for the owner, but sometimes the owner knows. They're like, hey, I need to rehome my pet because it's not fair to them to not have these things that they've always had. And, you know, I want them to have those things. So there's always that too.
Right. And so that's where it's good to have a relationship with a veterinarian, because I could totally see, I don't know if it's happened to you yet or not, but you have a client that says, I need to rehome my pet, and you have another client mm-hmm. or potential yep. client that says, well, I need it.
I'm looking.
Yep. I'm looking. Do those marriages happen?
Yeah, they for sure do. You know, we have clients all the time that are like, I'm looking for this. And a lot of times it's like, I don't want a puppy. I don't want to do the potty training. I don't want to do this, but I want a dog that's already older and just ready to just kind of enter the family. And so yes, if you know, you're talking with your veterinarian and you're in regularly, we know your pet. And a lot of times we know if they'd be a good fit for someone that's looking for someone just like them.
I should have thought of this sooner, Erica, so I hope I gave you enough time, but as I put the steroid in my nostrils and take the different allergy medicines for pets, this is that time of year for them too.
It is. The last few weeks, you know, it's getting warm, the wind, everything's blooming. So just like us, it tends to be when we start to get allergies, it's the same time our pets are starting to get allergies. So be watching, especially if your pet's already, you know, they're an allergy dog or cat, you know, be ready to get those allergy medications on board. My dog, he was allergic to every grass and weed in Kansas. I had him allergy tested. And it was always, I was like hawkeyeing him. And the minute he started to lick or chew out his paws, I was like, okay, it's time. It's time for allergy medicine. And because you definitely want to get it started before they're just miserable, right? I mean, you can think about yourself when you're miserable with allergies, like you're going to start taking those meds before you're miserable. And that's what we want to do for our pets too. And again, if we haven't said enough, if you already have a established relationship with your veterinarian and we've seen your pet before for allergies, then we all know when you call and say, hey, it's that time. We know, you know, we got to get those meds refilled.
And you may not even need to see them necessarily.
Nope.
If it's somebody
yep.
you've seen before.
Yep. So most of our allergy dogs, just like people, are chronic, and they can be seasonal. They can be year round. But if you've been seeing your vet and your pet's gone in once a year for their exam, you're able to get those meds refilled without coming in, unless you're like, man, they're having a really bad problem, I really want you to look at it, you know, because sometimes we can see if their allergies get too out of control, then we can get some secondary infections and things like that that need other medications.
Well, and it's interesting. For me, the doctor that I went to for my allergies said, your body gets used to an allergy medicine. Change them every so often so that your body can re-react to the new allergy medicine. It'll help you. And for me, that's really been a game changer. Do pets have that issue too? Where they get used to a medicine and then it isn't as effective?
You know, not necessarily. Sometimes. So I have some dogs that maybe do well on like Benadryl or Claritin originally, and then we tend to see later on that those don't really help and they need other medications. We're lucky. We have a couple different allergy medications. Like one of them is actually an injection and it's an antibody that was made to target the itch cycle and just stop it. So, that one just kind of works on the immune system. And so most of the time, once we get them on something, they tend to stay managed pretty well on them.
All right. And is that something where you want to keep them on it all the time, just so that you don't have to, time it right, so to speak?
So depends on the pet. So like I said, so my dog, seasonal allergies, fall, winter, perfectly fine. Spring comes around, spring and summer, miserable. And so like with him, I just would start to watch, is he chewing, licking his paws? Is he starting to get scratchy, itchy? It's time. And so we have the same, you know, we have pets that spring and summer, the owner's like, they're starting to itch, they're starting to scratch. It's time. And then we kind of see as it gets colder, they stop. So just like us, some of us need allergy medicine year round. Some of us just need it spring and summer.
Okay. And so now if you have somebody that says, okay, I need to be seen, how far out are you booking right now?
The answer to that would be, you know, for what exactly? So, vaccine, wellness.
Than emergence, yeah. Maybe I'll put.
So I would say vaccine, wellness, you know, we're booked a month out, which you should be getting your reminder a month ahead of time. So call when you get that. As far as like, you know, an ear infection, something not quite as emergent, I'm about a week at, and it kind of depends. So I don't have very much help this week, so that kind of affects my schedule. Next week, I have a relief doctor in 2 days out of next week. So that helps because they can fill in some of those extra, but honestly, it depends on the week.
And that's not just true of you. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's not
everywhere.
Just your office. It's every office. Office, Dr. Austin's office, yes. And anywhere else too.
Yes.
Once you know about something, call, even if it's not an immediate thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Get on the schedule. Don't wait till, you know, if you notice your dog is bothering its ear, don't wait 5 days and then say, well, for 5 days it's been bothering its ear, and hope, you know, you're going to get in that same day. I mean, we definitely try and get as many as we can in, but sometimes I have to remind people that I'm a human. I do sometimes like to get a lunch break, and I have two little kids, and I like to get home and see them before they're in bed at night. So
so there are occasions where you need to be able to go home and do what you need to do. Now, also, the other thing about relationships with vets, and we'll wrap this up, is emergencies. You want to be sure that people know what's going on, and that they call the vet that knows what's going on if those things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely with emergencies, call your primary vet. Just like us with emergencies, if your pet needs in, I'm going to get them in. If you're an established client with me, and we've been seeing your pet regularly, and it's an emergency, we're going to get you in. But that's, again, if you can take one thing away from what we've talked about today, is you need to have an established relationship with a veterinarian.